almost an act of terrorism coming in today, wasn't it? It's so cold out there. It's so cold, you don't know how cold it is. It's just unbelievable. But it is good to see you here this morning. Thanks for being on hand. And it's good to be worshiping, that is for sure. My name is Mark Schering, as you may have noticed from the bulletin. My wife Diane is here too. She comes to keep me in line, and she does a very good job. And so we should be all set then. Let us continue with the confession and the forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways for the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us continue now with our gathering song. Will you come and follow me?
Thank you.
Father, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from 1 Samuel. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel!" And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli, and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsibly. Please read the bold print. "Lord, you have searched me out. O Lord, you have known me. You trace my journeys and my resting places, and are acquainted with all my ways. You encompass me behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. For you yourself created my inmost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. My body was not hidden from you while I was being made in secret and woven in the depths of the earth. I find your thoughts, O God. How great is the sum of them. A reading from 1 Corinthians. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is meant not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall be one flesh. But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. The word of the Lord.
Children of God speaking their deepest fears and anxieties, and at the same time falling back upon the deepest faith they possess. Psalm 139 is one of those priceless psalms. O Lord, you have searched me and you have known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away and are acquainted with all my days. It is a voice spoken in wonder and awe. The psalmist insists that before we know or name God, God knows and names us. What a fearful truth that God knows you from top to bottom, inside and out. God knows your innermost thoughts or failings, your unspoken dreams. Nothing escapes the mind of God. It's a fearful truth. No matter how ornate, fearsome, or creative the mask we fashion for ourselves, God sees right through. As Kyle said of the song, it is risky to dismiss the deceptive coverings under which most men take refuge. I mean, let's face facts. Who among us really wants to be known through and through? That's why I call it a fearful truth. To be fully known is to be completely vulnerable. Such fear drove Adam and Eve to hide themselves from God. They had done something that God told them not to do. When God approached, they hid, but there really was no hiding. It is only in such raw vulnerability that we may have an authentic relationship to God. Anything less is simply justifying ourselves. Yet despite this hunger to hide, the writer sounds anything but fearful. Of the different kinds of songs of lament, wisdom, blessing and curse, thanksgiving, most commentators classify this as a hymn of joy. Hymn of joy? Seriously? Yeah, seriously. The eternal God, creator of the heavens and the earth, the wellspring of wisdom, the giver of life, whose sovereign grace encompasses us in ways that we can never fully comprehend, knows you through and through. In a time when the worth of human life is vastly cheapened, the psalmist affirms of God's supreme valuing of us. Life is sacred. We are the work of God's hands. No identity crisis there. While in Tegel prison, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a poem entitled, "Who Am I?" shortly before his execution at the hands of the Nazis. He ends the poem by asking, "Who am I? They mock me, these lonely questions of mine. Whoever I am, thou knowest, O God, I am thine." God knows you, but God is the one you can trust above all else. Speaking of being known, we have Nathanael. Nathanael goes rather reluctantly with Philip to see this Jesus. I can imagine Philip giddy with excitement. He had just been called by the Son of God. Come and see the one that was written about in the law and the prophets. Nathanael is not easily persuaded. Where did he come from? Who is this person? How do you know that he's the one we've been waiting for? And Philip, bubbling over with glee, says, "Oh, it's Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." And that about does Nathanael in. "I know Nazareth," he replied, "and nothing good ever comes out of Nazareth." You get the feeling that Nathanael might not be investing too much in this wait-and-see proposition. Surely, nothing life-changing could come from a place such as Nazareth. No one of any consequence would have a common name like Jesus. And yet, Nathanael goes. We don't know what happened when Nathanael first saw Jesus. Was it enough to look straight into the face of divine love? For it was Jesus, not Nathanael, who speaks the first words. "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Where did you get to know me?" Well, we too are standing with Nathanael, holding tightly to our hopes and dreams, and yet for some reason hoping against hope that this Jesus, this child of Joseph, knows us too. Knows us for who we truly are. Knows us for all our disillusionment and cynicism. Knows us for our fears and our deceit. Pain and remorse, the love, the joy, all of it, everything that is within us that makes us human. It is the good news we hear from the words of Scripture. Somehow, Jesus sees us. Sees everything we are, everything we could be, everything we dream to be and yet fall short. He knows us even before a word leaves our tongues. At this time, we've been
everybody, and despite everything that churns inside, God has pronounced his love for us. And so we can join the psalmists from ages ago, praying, Lord, you've searched me and you've known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, it's so high that I cannot attain. Let's continue with our hymn.
Thank you.
embodied in human form, we pray for God's blessing on the church, the world, and all of creation. Encourage the ministry and mission of the church, God of truth. Let the leaders of your church be trustworthy and accountable stewards, that all of the resources and outreach bring hope and healing to communities. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Michael, our presiding bishop pro tem, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, Mark, our presiding minister this weekend, and all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God, God of grace.
Receive our prayer.
Delight in the goodness of your creation, God of victories and fertile soil. Heal areas of the world harmed by human greed. Restore those recovering from natural disaster. Protect our forests and waterways and all the creatures that live in them. God of grace,
receive my prayer.
Call the leaders of every neighborhood and nation to serve faithfully, God of wisdom. Give them visions of justice and unity. Lead them to action that promotes equitable partnerships and uplifts those on the margins of society. God of grace,
receive my prayer.
Hold in your care any who suffer and struggle, God of compassion. You who know our inner hearts, be present with any who are oppressed, victims of racism or cultural bias, and all who long for respite or restoration. We pray for those who are ill, especially Charlie, Justin, Susie, Scott, Connie, Donna, John, Robert, Joellen, Pat, Dixon, Brent, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Dave, Chip, Theodore, Cheryl, Jean, Owen, Bill, Jessica, Wesley, Wyatt, Jim, Caitlin, JP, Ellie, Paul, Bob, and our homebound. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
Give this congregation the anticipation and excitement of Samuel, so inspired and empowered to do your work in the world, God of unity. Make us faithful as we build communities of inclusion and mutual care. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
Trusting God who raised Jesus and who will also raise us in spirit and truth, we remember all who have died and are at peace among the saints, especially the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., whose faithful advocacy for peace and justice continues to embolden the church. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
Knowing the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we offer these prayers and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's extend a sign of peace to one another.
Not as bad as last week.
our hearts towards those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, to our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the very path of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. I believe we have one announcement.
Yeah, just briefly, the giving statements for 2023 are now available, prepared and done. You can find yours in the narthex as you leave of the table on the right-hand side as you're leaving the church. Thank you.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let's recite the mission God has given us. Saint John, Lutheran Church, with all, is centered in the Word, strengthened in the sacraments, sent in community to share the love of Jesus. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Thank you.